You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
The feeling most people get when they hear a Barack Obama speech, I felt this thrill going up my leg. I don't have that too often.
Steady.
The feeling most people get, the world according to MSNBC's Chris Matthews. He was clearly unabashed in sharing his thought, but does his thoughts really matter to voters?
He's usually so circumspect, you know. Chris Matthews, Mr. Poker Face.
This goes to the very significant point that we're going to get to with our science writer pal. All the coverage we see about Obama, does that influence voters? How about the ads that McCain is running accusing the media of being biased? Does that influence voters? What do you think? Give us a call, 877-8-MY-TAKE. Here's what science writer Jonah Lehrer thinks. His work appears on the Frontal Cortex blog. He says the facial expressions of news anchors is just the beginning. It turns out all sorts of factors influence voters. And we're not talking about the issues, right, Jonah?
No, voters aren't exactly rational creatures.
And how are they irrational then, by implication?
Well, there's a famous study that actually looked at how Peter Jennings' facial expressions influenced voters in the 1984 election. A psychologist at Syracuse University, he had voters rate the facial expressions of the big three anchors, so Tom Brokaw, Dan Rather, and Peter Jennings. And he found that Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw were pretty equal when talking about Ronald Reagan and Walter Mondale, who were running in the 1984 presidential election, except Peter Jennings, who, when talking about Walter Mondale, was rated an average of 13. And so these facial expressions were rated from 1 to 21, with 21 being a big beaming smile and 1 being an angry frown. When talking about Mondale, it was about 13. When talking about Ronald Reagan, it was a 17. So there's a big statistical difference.
Jonah, you're really going to have to help me here because I actually worked at ABC News for a long time. And I got to tell you, Peter Jennings' expression is pretty usually not scrutable. You couldn't necessarily tell when he sort of lit up. Convince me that this is actually the case, that there's some subtle facial expression that somehow voters, are they looking for that or is it just something they read into it?
Well, it's hard to tell, but when people were rating these anchors, they really perceived a difference. Even though Peter Jennings might seem like he's, you know, speaking equally about Walter Mondale and Ronald Reagan, when people were asked to actually rate their expressions, and this is a big sample, he asked hundreds of people, they actually thought Peter Jennings was smiling a little bit more when talking about Ronald Reagan. More importantly, Brian Mullen, the psychologist, then went back and looked at how people who watched the different broadcasts actually voted. And he found that, sure enough, people who watched ABC News were much more likely to vote for Ronald Reagan.
That's interesting.
What's even more interesting is that, you know, then you could suggest that, well, it's just people who were, you know, leaning towards Reagan were going to watch ABC News anyways.
Right.
Well, he actually showed that the content of ABC News was the most critical of Reagan. So even though the ideas, the actual content of the broadcast was the most anti-Reagan, Peter Jennings' subtle facial expression seemed to overwhelm the actual content of the broadcast.
You know, this raises an issue which I've always thought about in television, but I've never seen any sort of scientific basis for it, and that is that people seem to be very attuned to the implicit messages, the sort of conspiratorial, what's he really thinking kind of information that is conveyed in television body language and sort of eye blinks and camera moves, and less pay attention to the explicit messages of what the actual issues and content are. You're saying this is broadly true in politics as well.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that's a basic truism about how the brain works. We're very sensitive to subliminal kind of, you know, implicit cues. And
but there's
we
an
think
assumption
we're
in there that's problematic for me, which is you're assuming that everyone who's watching is perceiving the exact same thing based on whatever that small physical manner or expression might be.
Certainly, and there are undoubtedly individual differences. Some people probably watched Peter Jennings and didn't perceive that gap. But keep in mind these are big surveys of lots of people. And so, you know, in the sum total, these things do seem to have a real effect.
Let's also talk about it's not just who you watch, but where you vote influences how you vote.
Yeah, there's a brand new study out in Proceedings by researchers at Stanford, and they found that people who vote in schools, and keep in mind where you vote is arbitrarily assigned, are much more likely to vote, significantly more likely, so on average 2-4% more likely, which is more than enough to sway a close election, to vote for a sales tax increase when voting in a school. And you're less likely to vote for a stem cell initiative when voting in a church.
I love that.
So where you vote, and these things are completely arbitrarily assigned, actually has real consequences. You know, and that in retrospect makes perfect sense. When you're voting in a school, you're more likely to think about all the things schools do for your community. And so sure, it's probably a good idea to vote for a sales tax increase so they can build more schools. And when you're voting in a church, you're primed is the technical word here.
What about a barn?
You're more likely to vote for farm subsidies. But you make another point here, Jonah, which is that not only are voters not necessarily rational, but they aren't even consistent. You're saying that there are studies showing that rephrasing polling questions often results in different answers from the same people?
Yeah. You know the research, for example, gave voters and did put them in different spots and show that the same people who would support a sales tax in a school wouldn't support a sales tax if they had to vote in government office. So you can really switch around people's preferences simply by putting them in different polling locations, by having them watch different news broadcasts, et cetera, et cetera. We're very vulnerable. We're very inconsistent.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about, Jonah Lehrer. We're going to ask you to stick around because right now we need to get some headlines. Jonah Lehrer is going to stay with us, science writer whose work appears on the Frontal Cortex blog. Now, Femi with the latest headlines. Femi.
Thank you. It's 28 minutes past the hour.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.